an improbable run to the Cup Final for the Florida Panthers? Unless you ask Florida, what can the Wild learn from the Panthers' trip all the way through the postseason? We discuss on today's episode of Locked On Wild.
You're Locked On Wild, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on any of our videos and episodes throughout the week. On today's Memorial Day edition of Locked On Wild, Alex Micheletti joins us as we talk Florida Panthers. What can the Wild learn from this improbable run to the Cup Final by the 8-seeded Florida Panthers? My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider, as mentioned, joined by Alex Micheletti today. Want to welcome in everybody listening for the first time. If this is your first time listening, we're glad to have you along and hope you tune in to Locked On Wild throughout the rest of the offseason. If you're one of the everydayers who listens every single day of the week, we're glad to have you back. It is Memorial Day, so we are giving you an episode to enjoy, whether it be checking those ribs out on the grill, in the car on the way up to the cabin, on the way back to the cabin, whichever time you choose to listen. We got some content for you here today. Alex, we're talking about the Florida Panthers because the secret's out. The Panthers have made their way all the way to the Stanley Cup Final after sweeping the Carolina Hurricanes. Unless you ask Rod Brendamore, it wasn't a sweep.
No.
Hurricanes didn't lose. They didn't lose four games, but it can't be called an accident anymore because the Panthers just, they thoroughly outplayed the Hurricanes for large stretches of that series. The Toronto series, they did the same thing. And they took down the best team in the regular season, the Boston Bruins, best regular season team ever, the Boston Bruins, after falling behind in that series 3-1. And so this run continues, and it has featured just so many unbelievable things. But it looks like a team that just is so confident in what they are capable of doing, and it doesn't matter who the opponent is, they are just running right through people.
Yeah, Matthew Tkachuk, what more can you say about the guy? It's incredible. He's willing the team to, you know, to wins. It's and you got Bob back there, just incredible goaltending. Yeah, it's a team that's confident. I think that's the big thing, is they're playing with so much confidence, and they love being the underdog and proving everybody wrong. So it's pretty fun to watch.
Let's start by talking about the goaltending. We'll talk about Matthew Tkachuk and him taking it to a whole nother level here in the postseason. We'll talk about Paul Maurice as well to end the show today. But Sergei Bobrovsky had a pretty up and down regular season, which is why we saw Alex Lyon down the stretch for the Panthers trying to win every single game that they needed to even get into the postseason. But then Lyon got hurt and was ineffective in the early part of that series against the Boston Bruins. Re-enter Sergei Bobrovsky, and all of a sudden now he's 11-2 in the postseason and has had just some dominant performances. And so I guess from the Wild perspective, the lesson here is that you maybe have the one guy that you lean on to get you through a majority of the season, but having two goalies that are capable of stepping in really, really helps.
Yeah, and picking when to go to the right goalie, that's when they think they can look back at, you know, Lyon's healthy, but, you know, stick with Bob, and that's gotten them this far for sure. You know, it's been quite the turnaround for Bob. I mean, he was the worst regular season goaltender, and then in the playoffs, you know, just, you know, I think losing his job, you know, I think really, you know, motivated him, you know, to say, hey, I'm getting paid $10 million, you know. That's they gave me all this money because of my skills. And so, yeah, it's just the saves he made against Carolina. It was like, oh my goodness. And to win that four overtime game to start the series, that I think psychologically that just took Carolina out of it.
Yeah, the 139-minute, 47-second performance for Bobrovsky, in which he had 63 saves on 65 shots. And just he followed that up with a 37 of 38, then a 32-save shutout, and then the one game in which Carolina was able to get some goals past, 36 of 39, so three goals allowed. But in the entirety of the series, six total goals in the four games, and that followed a pretty stellar performance against the Toronto Maple Leafs and some pretty darn good work against the Boston Bruins. And so hot goalie, yes, is a big part of having success in the postseason, but it's also having a guy that has done it in the postseason before. But this is what Bobrovsky does. He did when he was in Columbus against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so he's just doing it again in a different uniform.
Yeah, playoff Bob. You know, he did it with Philadelphia too. I mean, this guy's been around for a long time. He knows how to, you know, what it takes to win, and you know he's hot right now. It's all about confidence. You know, you get in this mode. He's lights out. You know, and you could tell versus Carolina too. He was really frustrating some of the guys. Sebastian Aho, one of the best players, one of the most underrated players in the league. You know, he was taking penalties, getting frustrated. Just Bob was making everything. Stopping shots from the point from Brent Burns. I mean, that game, I think what was it, game 3-2, where puck went off a skate and then the puck was like halfway over. And that was like one of the saves of the playoffs. It was just incredible.
So being able to lean on a guy that has that postseason experience, but also that confidence, as you alluded to, and so looking a little further down the road to the guy that the Wild expect will be that franchise guy in Jesper Wallstad, he definitely looks like he's got the confidence. Mm-hmm. And so that is a major part of it. When the Wild get to that point, is you want to have some postseason experience on the roster, but also you want your guy to be the one that steps up and takes charge of that moment.
Yeah, 100%. And you want Jesper to be ready too. You don't want to rush him. You know, he's still so young, and goalies, it can take a little bit longer than your forward or defenseman. A lot of the European goalies, they have to get used to playing North American style hockey too. And so let Jesper cook again, and keep building that confidence. And he knows he's he's the top goaltending prospect in the world, or in the NHL, AHL. It's really nice to see him getting experience with Sweden and the World Championships too. It's a mixture of talent in that tournament. You have some young guys, but you also have some older guys that haven't played a whole lot of international experience, but they give people a chance to play, because a lot of the players just want to take the off season off. It's a unique mix, and the team USA is doing really well, and so is Sweden. So yeah, it's exciting.
In Bob we trust, in Jesper we will come to trust. It also helps to have a superstar player really take over. But it hasn't just been Matthew Tkachuk. There have been plenty of guys that have stepped up. And so we'll look at next the balance of superstar taking the lead and the rest of the cast being able to follow said lead as we continue today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Continuing today's episode of Locked On Wild, once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, we've got another player eval for you coming up tomorrow, Matt Dumba. So that one will be interesting. So tune in tomorrow for yet another player eval as we move through the entirety of the roster. Then we're going to start to hit the bigger picture stuff, draft coverage, and we'll mix in some other things as well throughout the offseason too. Seth Topol joined by Alex Micheletti today, and Alex, Matthew Tkachuk has been, he has that dog in him here in this postseason, has, I believe the count is 9 goals, 12 assists, so he's got 21 points in 16 playoff games. But you look at it too, you've got three guys that are nearly averaging a point per game in the postseason. Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe, Alexander Barkov, but then you also have Sam Reinhart and Sam Bennett that are playing big roles. And so having that one guy to step up and to lead the way is great, but as the Wild have seen over the last two postseasons, it can't be top guy goes nuts, supporting cast goes quiet. Supporting cast does their job, top guy goes quiet. You got to have both be able to step in and to play roles to be effective in the postseason.
Yeah, 100%. The Wild coaching staff, you know, if it stays the same, they should just look at Florida game tape. They're getting scoring from all over their lineup. You know, the fourth line can, you know, had a huge goal for Florida. Eric Staal made a great pass, and Ryan Lomberg finished it off. He's got the most hilarious nickname, the Lamborghini. That was hearing that was unbelievable. You look at their center depth. They have Barkov as the 1C, then, you know, Sam Bennett, Anton Lundell, who was drafted right after Marco Rossi, and then Eric Staal as their fourth line center. It's amazing. They have that depth there up the middle. You win up the middle with face-offs and just controlling play. It's been phenomenal to watch, and their power play is so aggressive too. That's something that the Wild can look at. They get the puck to the net. It helps having guys like Brandon Montour and Aaron Ekblad back there, but their decor, it isn't the most flashy in the world. I mean, they have Mark Staal playing top 4 minutes. It's amazing that they're winning with the other Staal brother in that type of role, but they're making it work, and they're physical. Gudas, he just hits people, and then, Sam Bennett, he takes out, Jacob Slavin early in the game, and Carolina was down to 5 defensemen. It was a legal hit, he's just been playing physical. I've been calling him, Yosemite Sam. He kind of looks like the from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's been a fun team to watch because, like I said, they've embraced the underdog mentality. You have guys that are, on their, last legs, it looks like, Eric Staal, and guys coming back from major injuries like Anthony Duclair. He's been great with Barkov. And so, yeah, they have depth all over the place. And the way Bob's playing, they're going to be tough to beat in the cup for sure.
And with all of that scoring, they have 15 players that have scored a goal in the postseason, which is just, it's insane. But you know who the guy is in those critical moments. And Tkachuk has been the guy in those critical moments. Multiple overtime goals in this postseason. The winner to send the Panthers to the Cup final. If memory serves me correct, he also had another series winner that advanced the Panthers here in the postseason. And so they're getting everybody to buy into the system. They're playing that physical style where they just are winning puck battles. I saw on Twitter, and I don't have the exact stat. I went back and tried to find it, but the team as a whole essentially completely shifted their entire approach to how they play going into the postseason. They play way more of a dump and chase style than they did early in the season. But then they have guys going and winning those puck battles. So, you know, you can play a dump and chase all day long, but if you don't go win those puck battles, it really means nothing. They win the puck battles, and then they put players in front of the net quickly to be able to get those shots on net and those tip-ins for goals. It's just everybody is bought in to what the objective is and what they need to do in order to make that happen.
Yeah, they just wear down teams, right? They just grind them down. Like I said, they have some physical defensemen. You know, the Wild, or they have some smaller defensemen. They did get, you know, Jacob Middleton to try to make them tougher. Just the way they play, they get the pucks out. You know, Aaron Ekblad loves to flip it out there and create odd man rushes. This team has so much speed too. It's you look at Carter Verhaeghe, it seems like he gets a breakaway every game, and that guy has been what a career arc for him. You know, he was on Tampa and they're stuck on their fourth line, and then wins the cups there, and then free agent, and you know, signs with Florida there, and heck of a pickup for them. And he's making $4 million, and he had 42 goals in the regular season and just has been an animal in the postseason. You know, that's a guy that's hungry, that wants to prove everybody wrong, you know, and get a big contract here, after next summer. And so, yeah, he's been fun to watch. He's had so much, chemistry with Barkov. And how about Barkov? You know, he goes on, unnoticed sometimes out there, and he can be quiet, but you know, he has goals like he had in game two where he goes fake in between the legs, and just, you know, it was unbelievable. That guy is so talented. His reach, it's incredible. You see him out there and it's like, you know, what is this? You know, it's incredible. He's just winning every puck battle, amazing in the face-off dot. And like we've seen with the Wild struggles, if you can't win face-offs, it really hurts. Trying to get possession and keeping possession, it is so huge in the postseason.
Yeah, that's the big, I think, takeaway here, is that the Wild need to, they've got good centers for a bottom six. And, you know, Joel Eriksson Ek, I think, is capable of being a 2C. He hasn't really before this year been asked to do that. I think he's more than capable of doing it. You don't have a 1C. And if you put a bona fide, legitimate 1C up top and everybody else slots back down into their natural spot, that's going to go a long way for this team in establishing some postseason success. But you lose your best center, and you're rolling with Hartman, you're rolling with Steele, you're rolling with Goudreau as your top options. And again, it's not a slight on Goudreau or on Hartman. I like those guys. They're good players. They're not going to win those battles against those upper level guys.
Rupe Hintz.
Exactly. They're not Rupe Hintz. They're not Joe Pavelski. They're not Tyler Seguin. They're not going to win those battles against those guys. So that's the big takeaway here, is that, and we talked about this for the everydayers. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the quest for a 1C, is all these teams that get into the postseason and have success are just loaded down the middle. Now, face-offs are, depending on who you ask, face-offs can win you games. The Wild have won plenty of games without dominating the face-off circle. But it's what comes next after either a face-off win or a loss that is what has just killed the Wild over the last few years. So, center depth, solid 1-2 punch at goalie, and coaching. So we're going to finish today's episode by talking about the Paul Maurice effect, because there has definitely been a Paul Maurice effect. We'll finish today's episode of Locked On Wild talking about just that after this. Final segment of today's episode of Locked On Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, we continue player evals throughout the rest of the week. We'll get to Matt Dumba. We'll get to Jonas Brodin. We'll probably talk about Marcus Foligno as well this week. So we should have some polarizing evals for the rest of the week here. Seth Topol joined by Alex Micheletti. Happy Memorial Day to everyone out there. Paul Maurice has had an interesting season for the Florida Panthers, because everything was going wrong for Florida to a particular point in the regular season in which there was that profanity-laced tirade on the bench in which he really tried to kind of get his team to snap out of the particular brand of hockey they were playing. Boy, did that work. They figured it out. They put together a stretch that got them into the postseason, and they have not looked back ever since.
Yeah, what a hire by Bill Zito to get Paul Maurice. He quit on Winnipeg, and everybody thought that was the end of the road for him for coaching. And Bill Zito called him up and said, "I want you to replace Andrew Brunette after a president trophy winning season." It was a gutsy move, and he. Not only was the Maurice move, trading Huberdeau to Calgary and getting Tkachuk, it was just incredible. And, Paul Maurice, they just play this aggressive style. It's, they get pucks right to the net. They wear down opponents. Their penalty kill is aggressive, too. And, it's just a very, very fun brand of hockey to watch. And, kudos to him for, after all the chaos he had last year, it's fun to see him in the press conferences. He's winning all the press conferences too. He's hilarious. He's a little, he's hilarious during the interviews on the bench too, saying, we're going to get a call here soon. Hopefully we get our 5-on-3, he's been, joking with Jackie Redmond. It's been fun to watch. And, it's something Dean can learn from too, is, Dean's had a couple tough years in a row here with, just losing composure, in after game press conferences or, pre-game conferences during the games too. And just making adjustments too, not being stubborn. And so that's a guy he can watch for sure.
You need a coach that coaches. And that is gonna sound like a slight, but I mean it in that sense, because that was one of the things too in regards to the Panthers changing and playing much more of a dump and chase style than they did to start the season. They were near the bottom in the NHL in terms of actually using the dump and chase, and it's not the end all be all. You can do the dump and chase. You can do just controlled zone entries. There are plenty of ways to get into the offensive zone. But Maurice, in his introductory press conference, said it's going to take us a little time to kind of figure out what we want to do. And so took the early portion of the season, but then saw that things weren't working and made some big changes, some philosophical changes to how the team performed, and they have worked out tremendously well. And I think that's where a coaching staff kind of for instance, for the Wild, gets lulled into a false sense of security is, well, you're winning, so you don't really need to change anything. Not only that, but when Gerard Gallant got fired by the New York Rangers and they said the reasoning in that Gallant has a set style that he plays and it's very much, this is how we play. If you find a way to beat us, we'll tip your cap. But then we're going right back to it. And as soon as they said that, that was on, I think it was on Sirius Satellite Radio, which, by the way, you can also find Locked On Wild on now. But they were talking, they were breaking it down. And as soon as they said that, I was like, that's Dean.
We know a team in the West. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, spitting image. Yeah. It's just, you know, and getting the young guys incorporated, you know, and giving them a chance, because that's going to be huge for the Wild for these next two seasons with buyout still causing issues with them being able to afford players. And so they're going to need entry level guys to step up, and you know, he's going to have to trust some young guys here. If this is Marco's, you know, this is his year. If he doesn't put up, then he's gone. I think, and they're going to have to give him time. You look at the other guys in his class that have been playing a lot, and they've been playing in the playoffs. Well, I mentioned this guy earlier, Anton Lundell. He's the third line center for Florida. He's been playing amazing, and he was picked right after Marco. And so, I think that could be one that the Wild will regret for a long, long time. The way that the player that he's turning into, and Seth Jarvis that we saw had a breakout playoff, Dawson Mercer who had a breakout season, and so this is Marco's year, and hopefully. He takes that fire and, has a heck of a off season here. And I'm glad that he's staying in Minnesota, and, I hope he gets stronger and faster, because, the NHL is completely different than the AHL. He can be dominating down there, but once you get with the big boys, it's different. You have to go to war against Anze Kopitar, all these guys in the West, all the top centers. It's tough.
Yeah, it's a whole nother beast. And in fact, I think I remember 100% the tweet that you had talking about Anton Lundell, and somebody responded with, would he even be playing here? And that's a valid question to ask, because it's a coaching staff that just leans so heavily on those veteran guys, but you have to be willing. I think that was why seeing Brock Faber play in the postseason was so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
But is that just an exception to the rule, or is that a new trend?
It's going to have to be.
Remains to be seen, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have to, or else, they could be in some real trouble if, they don't play some of these guys. And so you just have to give them a chance. And if they burn out, then back to Iowa. Yes, and there will be some hungry guys down there in Iowa that will want to play. Sammy Walker is right there. He's the tweener, and so you have Patan down there too. That is capable of being an NHL player too.
Adam Beckman.
Yeah, Adam Beckman too. So you have guys that are hungry. They are ready to fill some spots, and we'll see. If a veteran gets moved, Marcus Foligno maybe. So we'll see. They're, to create more cap space. It's going to be very interesting here as we get, closer to the draft in a couple weeks. I can't believe we're getting there. This offseason moves fast, doesn't it?
No kidding. And to bring it full circle, the point that we are hammering home is this, is that Bill Guerin should be taking a lot of notes. Dean Evason should be taking a lot of notes as to what we've seen from the Florida Panthers, because they play a style that you feel like the Wild want to, but they just are playing it so well. And it's for the reasons that we mentioned. And so if you're the Wild, you got to take a look at that. You got to take a look at what they're doing right, and you have to try to find a way to incorporate some of that into what you're trying to do going forward. And I know it's the center depth is not something that they're going to be able to take care of overnight, but it has to be addressed. And these are things that you just have to continue to add to the arsenal as you move forward towards this legitimate cup contention run in a couple of years, once these cap hits are down to like $1.6 million total in a couple of years.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's just, you know, playing with confidence too. Like I said, you can see it in all their players too. It starts from the back end and all the way up front. They have, like I said, you know, their decor, it isn't flashy, but it gets the job done. And,
yep.
You know, I think, you know, with the Wild here, it's going to be interesting with the back end, because you pretty much have your top four solidified, but there could be some, you know, moves on that third pairing where they could, you know, acquire or sign some, you know, heavier type D. A guy that I would love to have on this team is Luke Shen from Toronto. You know, he would be the absolute perfect fit. He's the perfect playoff defenseman. He's rugged. He's big. He's physical. You know, he's a stay-at-home guy, and I think he would solve a lot of problems for the Wild back there. You know, when you need a guy to be physical, you have him there. He's responsible. He can protect, you know, some of your young forwards, and, you know, have that veteran presence in the locker room. And so, you know, you might be able to sign him if you can move an Alex Goligoski, move a John Merrill, you move some of these guys that, you know, don't really have a future with this team and weren't playing the playoffs. And right. When Merrill did play, it was a mess. And so, yeah, it's, you know, he could be this summer's Dmitry Kulikov. And, you know, hopefully you call up a team like Anaheim, you call up a team like Arizona, but who knows if Arizona is going to, who knows with that mess. And so, yeah, if players will want to go there. Yeah. So be interesting summer.
A lot of moving parts. And so we'll continue to keep an eye on things. We'll probably do another one of these once we know who is in from the Western Conference. It's entirely possible by the time this episode airs that Vegas has won. It's possible that Dallas keeps the series going. And so once we know that definitively, we'll probably do another one of these to see what we can learn from the Western Conference half of the Stanley Cup Final. But just trying to throw some things out there that the Wild can take notes on to try to break this first round losing spell. So we'll see what happens as we continue through the offseason, but that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Wild. Again, if you are listening to today's show for the first time, we thank you for tuning in and hope that you stick with Locked On Wild throughout the rest of the offseason by following us on YouTube and subscribing on your favorite podcast platforms, which includes Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, and now Sirius XM. Yes, Sirius Satellite Radio. We are now on Sirius XM on the Sirius XM app. If you're an everydayer that tunes in every single day of the week, we thank you as always for tuning in, and we look forward to joining you again tomorrow. Either way, make sure you follow along on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, so you don't miss out on any of our new content throughout the week. We have new episodes every Monday through Friday as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.